Good morning, church. Good to see everyone today. I'm glad you're here. If you are a visitor, you are on our guest, and we are glad to have you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know, because we know you could choose to worship anywhere. We're glad you chose to worship with us and our family today. Isn't it a beautiful day? You all seem so excited to be here. I'll try this again. Isn't it a beautiful day?
Yes,
that's much better. I'm so glad. Is everyone excited to be here? Yes, because we get to be together in fellowship and worship. And isn't it an awesome experience? We all got a very interesting story to tell. One that is unique to every single individual person in this room, but one that is also shared as being the larger part of Christ. We're going to talk about that today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings you have. We thank you for each other and the fellowship we have with one another, that we can come together, worship you, and study your word. Be with us as we continue our lesson. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Today's lesson is titled, The Evidence of Grace. Now, some of you are looking at this, and you probably have something in mind of what I mean exactly by the evidence of grace. You are probably wrong, because I'm going to do something I've never ever done before, and you're going to see exactly what I mean by that, because I have never done it before, so it will be quite different than my normal lesson. But before we get to that, let's go back and look at what we talked about last week, where Paul wrote about the many blessings of Christ, where he basically said, because God is our Father, and He has given us Jesus and the Spirit, we have received all these many blessings from Him, and because we've received these blessings from Him, we should continuously give thanks for the many blessings He has given us. And he moved on to end this section last week by telling us to kind of remember of what it was like when we first believed the gospel. And he says this in this verse, "In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquired possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Now this is very, very important, because these words are going to tie into our lesson today, which is why I chose to focus on them and not some of the other things that we focused on last week. Now I'm going to start this week by asking you a question. Who knows who this person is? I have never seen a picture of this person before this week, but I know quite a bit about him because he is one of my famous contemporary Christian music artists. His name is Matthew West. How many people know the name Matthew West? Okay, a few more than recognize his picture. Matthew West has been singing for at least 15 years, because 15 years ago he wrote one of my favorite songs called Next Thing You Know. Next Thing You Know is, he says it's about himself, but I don't actually know if it's his story. It's basically the story of how he became a Christian. It started with him when he was around 13 years old. He was watching TV, and he saw Billy Graham on the TV, and it said he felt like God was talking to him through Billy Graham. And so his mom saw his predicament, and she wanted to pray with him. And then it says, the next thing you know, he was doing great, everything was perfect, he had become a Christian, life was great, right? Well, maybe in that moment, life was great, but like so many of us, we recognize that life does go on, life happens, things get in the way, and faith seems to fall apart. So the second stanza of the line takes place when he's in college, and he says that 13 seems so far away, and I can hear you calling me, but I'm not really paying attention. But in this moment, he has found a renewal of his faith. How many people, does that story sound familiar to you? Maybe not because you heard the song, but that sounds familiar to you because for many of us, that's our exact same story. We accept God when we become a Christian at a very young age, but that hype that comes with accepting it, that honeymoon period, does quickly fall away because life happens. And then something happens later down the line where we find a renewal of our faith. one of these things, one of these stories are important. They're they are found everywhere in the world, everywhere in time. And one of them that I know pretty much everyone in this room knows is Paul's story. And Paul has made mention to his story numerous times in the New Testament. But this is essentially what his story is in Acts chapter 9, that he was this Jew of Jew. He was like the perfect Jew. And he hated Christians. Now, the Bible doesn't actually say if he killed any Christians, but it did say that he had intent to kill Christians. So that Jesus basically says that's the same thing. And it says here he got permission from the Jewish leaders to imprison Christians. So he goes down with his paperwork with the intent of putting Christians in prison, and all of a sudden he is confronted by the light of God, literally. And he's confronted by Jesus, he loses his sight, and he goes off to this city where he awaits further instructions. Now while this is going on, God speaks to another Christian. He says, I want you to go and help this man. Wait a minute, I know who that man is. I know exactly who that man is. Are you sure that's what you want me to do? And what I find is a very interesting twist of irony, Paul is now being sent to do exactly what he was being sent to stop doing. And so we see that Paul is saved, he's healed, he's baptized, and Paul leads a perfect life then, right? Absolutely not, because this is what happens to Paul. He's imprisoned, he's flogged, he's beaten, he's exposed to death, whipped, shipwrecked, adrift to sea, that's kind of the same thing. Robbed, sleep-deprived, food-deprived, cold and naked, and what he describes as the worst of these is the daily pressure from the church. But Paul recognizes that these are things that happen in life, but what does he do? He doesn't worry about those things because he writes Ephesians with the intent to encourage one another. And in chapter 1, he talks about two kinds of encouragement. The encouragement that we get from the blessings that we have in God, and the encouragement we get from the fellow believers who share their faith. And he says this in verses 16 and 17, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom of his revelation in the knowledge of him. So this is what I'm going to do today. When I tell, when I teach my lesson, normally I try to put the lesson in my own words that you could best understand it. But what I've decided to do differently is I've decided to, with the permission of five of you, use your own words to share this story. And so I think this is great because this is exactly what Paul says in verse 15, and this is what I built my lesson around. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward the saints, that he wanted to thank them and he wanted them to share their story. Because we should be thankful for those who share their faith and love, especially those that are in our lives and those who have become before us. Because they know what it means to have faith. They know that we're not perfect. They know that we're going to stumble and that we're going to mess up. Is anybody here not messed up? If your hand is up, then I know you're messing up right now. Yes, we all experience trials and tribulations. That's kind of what it means to be a Christian. But we should be thankful for each other. And this thankfulness is a continuous process because, like all things, it comes from God. And we should have that desire to learn from one another, but not also learn from one another, but to lean on each other. And we do lean on each other. And maybe not necessarily someone in this room, but someone who's important to our lives that help us discover faith and love. And the first of these stories I'm going to tell you about comes from Susie. Now, Susie told me that she grew up in the Catholic Church, but like many people who grew up in the Catholic Church, felt no real connection to God. It wasn't until much later, I don't know how many years later, she didn't tell me, that she met the man that would become her husband. And it is through his faith in love that she was finally able to find a real connection with God. Or as she says right here, no matter the trials and the tribulations, I would never let them get me down. It made me a better wife and a mother and helped me to be an inspiration to them. So see, we even see that when we lean on each other, others can also lean on us. So Susie became an inspiration to those around her as well. And so Paul goes on to say that we should seek to understand God's calling. And this is his prayer. Everything that he's doing right now is a prayer. So he says, I pray that the church would come to understand the divine truth of God's Spirit. And that they understand that through wisdom and understanding. Those have to go hand in hand. You can understand a fact, but to understand what that fact is, you have to be able to comprehend that. And he says this, he wants your hearts to be enlightened. What does it mean to have your heart be enlightened? It means to let God in your life, to truly to become a Christian. So what does it mean to become a Christian? Well, I found this story from Yvonne, who told me, like Susie, she also grew up Catholic, but she didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian. So this is one of my problems with Catholicism is that it teaches you to go through the motions, but it doesn't necessarily teach you to have a relationship. And a lot of Christians struggle with this concept of having a relationship with God. So Yvonne learned what it means to have a relationship from God, from the love and support that she had from her stepdad. Or as she says, being a Christian isn't always easy, and there are times when I failed, but God has never let me down, even though the times I had no idea how things would work out. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Because it is a reality we all face every day, and that we should lean on each other to better understand love and faith and what it means to become a Christian. That is, to have that relationship with God. Because when we have a relationship with God, we also have a relationship with each other. And Paul says, goes on to talk about how God is so big and so strong that he has this power that can change anything. This transformative power. Look at the language he uses to describe this transformative power. It seems like unlimited power, and that's exactly what it is. It's immeasurable. It's mighty. It brings the dead back to life. It could put the lowest at the highest. It transforms lives. And if you understand this power and you accept this power, it can transform your life as well. Just like it transformed Joe and Joe's dad's life. Now, I like Joe's story. And I think every single one of you need to go and ask Joe for his story, because this is an excellent story. And I cannot do it justice. But I'm going to try. Joe told me about how his dad, growing up, was a drinker and a smoker, and this also made him somewhat abusive. In fact, the way I understood it, he was not a good person at all. But something happened to Joe's dad when Joe was 13 years old. Joe's dad decided to turn his life around. He decided to go to church, and he started to take his family to church. He quit drinking and smoking cold turkey, and Joe didn't really tell me about this. You're going to have to tell me more about this later, Joe. I don't really know what happened to him between this year and 2 years later, but I do know at that point he was making progress because he died helping someone else in the church. Now, from then on, Joe talks about how he kind of bounced around from there, but it wasn't until 7 years later that he met this wonderful woman. I mean, she's awesome, and he knows it too. And they got married very, very quickly. They got married 2 months. 2 months after meeting or 2 months after dating? Meeting. 2 months after dating. And look at how great Joe is now because of that woman. And they have a wonderful family. And Joe told me that he was, because of God's power that worked in Whitney and her family, he was able to find his faith in God again. Or as he says, I understand now how God feels about each of us. I am forever blessed and thankful to be where I am today. Life is assuredly not easy, but God has it all under control for us. No matter where one starts in life, God is always guiding them home if they are willing to listen. And that's a very big statement there. You have to be able to listen to God to be able to allow Him to work inside of you. But like we understand, trials and tribulations do happen. And sometimes this is because of external factors. Paul writes about there are rulers, there are authorities, there are powers, there are dominions. And God is greater than all of them. But these things do exist in your life, and maybe those things are going to cause you to struggle. Maybe you're going to struggle with those obvious works of the flesh we talked about a few weeks ago. We all understand that we stumble because no one is perfect. And life happens. So what do you do when life happens? What do you do when you're shipwrecked and you're adrift at sea? Or you're cold and you're naked and you're tired and you're getting a lot of pressure from those around you? Well, this answer is summed up in one word that Whitney told me about. And this one word is steadfastness. See, Whitney's story told me that she grew up in the church. She learned about hearing God. But like so many of us, she thought she had faith but still doubted. But when Lexi was being born, Whitney had some complications. And she said that experience right there renewed her faith in God. She learned from that moment that God was true, that no matter how much she begged and pleaded, she had no doubt in her mind that God was going to take care of them. And they did. And Lexi is such a wonderful little girl, and she's so beautiful, and we're glad that we have her. But Whitney says, steadfastness means unwavering. God loves us and wanted us to have that unwavering faith. Sometimes it has to be brought out of us, and sometimes that means kicking and screaming. But sometimes we just have to let go and know that God has got this. And God does got this. Trust in God. He will take care of it. Don't worry about the things of tomorrow because God's got those things covered. Take care of what needs to be taken care of today. He put this plan in motion long before the world began. Long before you were even in a thought in anybody else's mind, as we see right here in verse 4. So Paul wants them to pray that people might put their trust in God. And he has taken Jesus and he has exalted him above everything else, that they might understand this trust. And that means not entrusting in yourself. That's a scary thought in it. Or maybe not trusting in Not trusting in yourself. So this thing I learned about talking to Cody, and Cody told me, like some of the other stories, he was raised in the Catholic Church. He'd grown up a very faithful Christian. He'd gone to church every Sunday, but he'd always just kind of seen his faith as his parents' faith. So when he went to the university for the first time and he met some other peers, these peers helped him discover what it meant to separate his faith from his parents' faith, that he could trust in God without necessarily having to trust in his parents. Or as he says, being with those two was a big moment in my life and my faith. Being with them was a testament to how God works in our lives. Trust in God. Trust that you will get through those trials and tribulations, that God can transform you, that He will put people in your lives to continue to show you the faith and love of what it means to be a Christian. All these stories are just a small part of the evidence of grace that God has shown us. It's not necessarily biblical, but this is how we learn. More people are more likely to become Christian talking to you than they are to be sitting in this room. Tell them your story. Share their story. Everybody's got a story, and everybody's got to find their place in that, in grace and in God's glory. So when we share these stories, they should constantly be a reminder of who we are and where we come from, and that we are not alone. Be thankful for God has given everything that God has given you. As he says here at the conclusion of chapter 1, he has put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Share your story. If your story is not yet begun and you'd like to start your story, or if you're finding difficulty, we invite you to come as we sing this song.